Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Welcome to SLWV, Daddy Vambilly in the building, not alone, the beautiful, amazing, wise, L Vambilly, Letitia, Lady V. What else should I add? Mommy Vambilly.
Danny, this is a Christian station. We need to keep it PG.
Oh, wow.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to SLWV with myself, Letitia, and my wonderful husband, Danny Vambilly.
Well, so today is one of those very different shows because we are here. We wanted to have our very deep conversations with you for the next 2 hours. But in Pretoria today, the inauguration of the new president, who is our former president, but the new president of the new party that is mixed, and should we call it the rainbow party?
I think it's the perfect rainbow party. That's exactly what I've been thinking for the past couple of weeks.
Yes, so the rainbow party is going to be joining us as we actually inaugurate the president. So at some point we are crossing over into a government link, so please stay tuned for that. But Letitia and I are going to put forward questions regarding marriage that we want to get going, and we are going to finish it off next week. So this week we can call it part one.
Mm-hmm.
Letitia, what is the topic?
Today we're talking about the marriage box. So we often talk at home about two things, the marriage constitution and the marriage box. Today the box is the focus, and we're using it to look at this analogy. Let me paint this picture for you. When we think of marriage, we think of a box that's given to us on the wedding day. And in this box is love, respect, intimacy, support, partnership, and all the other good trinkets. And we all want it because we want those things. But our biggest shock as young couples when we get married is that we discover that the box is empty. That is some of the greatest disappointments when you speak to couples. I thought this marriage would bring me joy. I thought this marriage would bring me happiness. I thought I would have a spouse, a partner, a confidant. What went wrong? This morning, we're talking about how to invest in your marriage box and realizing that what's in that box is things you're going to have to put in.
What do you mean by that? So let's say I'm a single person, mm-hmm, listening, and I've got all these ideas, and I'm thinking when I get married, everything, especially if the guy's a Christian,
mm-hmm,
the girl's a Christian,
mm-hmm,
they come from a certain family, or we grew up like Danny and Letitia, you know, they used to see each other growing up.
Well,
and birthdays and
about
Danny parties,
and Letitia,
you know.
What I mean when I say the marriage box and what you invest in it is, we have a friend that's an air traffic controller, and she said something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. She said that the laws that govern the skies are laced in blood.
Hmm.
What you put in your marriage box, or what you see of other people's marriage boxes, is often laid in blood and sacrifice and hardship. So if you look at the Vambilly box and you say, oh, they look like friends, you know, they're so happy, look at them communicating so well. Well, that couple has to tell you what it took to put those things in that box.
Because I think the world is still waiting for World War III. It happened in our house, guys. Don't worry, you're fine. The war happened. Peace was made. There was no nuclear bombs. Did we use a nuclear bomb in the house?
I actually think there was a nuclear bomb. That's why our current newborn is called Noah, because he's come to restore from the flood that the nuclear bomb did away with the old things.
So we're talking about the marriage box, guys. Do not change the dial. We're going to leave you with questions to prep you for the next week's show as we introduce the topic. Let's go.
We're talking about the marriage box this week as we prepare for next week's show, since we have our presidential inauguration this morning that we'll be crossing over to shortly. If you've just joined us, we use the analogy of how on your wedding day, you're given this box, and your expectation of what's in that box can be quite shocking. Now, on the day that you get married, the box, at least the physical one, is empty. Right, Danny?
Mm-hmm.
And during your marriage, you put things in. So there's this resentfulness and vengefulness that I've seen happening in marriages that I think is a good analogy of the box. When someone is ill, for example, let's say you're ill and I don't take very good care of you. I don't care. I'm not empathetic. I'm not loving. I'm not present. When I get ill, what we tend to see with a lot of couples is how you treated me, I'm going to treat you. And that's a narrative, a discourse that I hear all the time between couples. How you treated me during that thing, I'm going to treat you during that thing. Now, using the marriage box as an analogy, what happens when that person fell ill and you were rude to them? You put rudeness into that box. You put a lack of care into that box. You put a lack of presence into that box. Now, what happens when you, the person who invested a lack of empathy, gets ill? You become shocked when your spouse repeats the exact same thing. But the truth is that when you're ill, I go back to the box and I check what is in there at my disposal. And if I find a lack of empathy, that's exactly what I give back to you. Now, in our marriages, we're not realizing that what our marriages look like right now is a direct indication of what we've invested into that box. Some people's marriage boxes are filled with resentment, abuse, neglect, lovelessness, lack of empathy. And in era, a lot of the younger generations will look at such boxes and say, listen, I don't want marriage. I don't want anything to do with marriage. But what we fail to realize is that not all marriage boxes are equal. Not everybody is investing in their marriage box in the same way.
Yep. And this is where it gets very tricky, because the way we invest in that box is informed by what we saw growing up, you know. And sometimes the surprising thing can be what you saw in your parents that you thought was normal is the work they did in their marriage.
Yes.
So you coming in and you thinking, okay, this is how a husband behaves, this is how a wife behaves, and I'm going to automatically have that without depositing that into your partner.
There's actually someone that said to me recently, and I think this is a brilliant story, about how this lady was putting pressure on her husband to be the perfect husband. And the reason she was doing that is because her parents were so good at it, and the dad was so loving and so caring and so present and all that. And then they went to a counseling session, and the counselor said to them, please go and ask your mom how her marriage actually was, so that you can get an adult perspective of what you received as a child. She said when she spoke to her mom, she could not believe what her parents had been through. And the mom actually said to her, oh, we would fight. We would just do it in our room. And so she became more lenient on her partner, and she began to realize that foundations are built sometimes in blood, sweat, and tears.
And tears. So you especially newlyweds who have this expectation. Are there any newlyweds listening? 0713640376. We'd actually like to hear from you. And if you've got questions, next week we will dig into it. And maybe after this link with the government, when we come back, we'll also see one or two questions that we can address. Look, you have entered an empty space, or you've opened a bank account, okay? And in a bank account, a salary needs to go in there. And then from the salary, there needs to be savings. There needs to be investments. Different kind of things from the same account. Now, you cannot go in thinking this account suddenly has a million rand just waiting for you to spend. Because we also don't come in thinking, I need to invest. Everyone's coming in to spend. I've got a wife now. Food's going to be cooked on time. My shirts are going to be ironed. I've got a husband now. He's going to buy bread every day. I was reading something that said, one of the extra things you sign up for responsibility as a husband that you didn't know about is buying bread. You know, but no one walks into a full box. And when the box is empty, or the box has bitterness, or the box has hurt, or the box has resentment, the two couples involved, and again, the two, not the one, the two couples involved need to sit down and ask themselves, what have we put in this box? Why does it look the way it looks? Because what I see in scripture is we are going to have to answer for each other, because there's a way the conduct of the wife changes the husband.
And vice versa.
In fact, with the husband, the Lord takes it a step further and says we literally have to present our wives before the Lord. And you don't want to put her there and there's resentment and there's hatred, and there's just emptiness in this marriage box. So we are all being called together to work and invest well in the box.
So you called for the young couples to reach us and let us know what's in their box. I'm going to ask the older couples, the wiser couples, because what happens over a period of time, and this can be quite discouraging, so you have to make sure you join next week for the encouragement to see that things can change. What happens when you've been married for a while is sometimes you look in your box and you're like, what did we do? What did we do? What did we put into this box? And there can be a lot of regrets that comes in that moment. But there are also very good marriages and very good lessons. So we want to invite you to tell us what you've put in your box and how you managed to put it in there. You can always WhatsApp us all your questions and opinions on 071-364-0376.
And remember, we also are open to voice notes. Send us those voice notes. Just try to keep it within a minute, because we want to hear from as many people as possible. We're going in a quick song. It's called Yahweh. We shall be back after this.
My daddy, my Abba, my best friend.
That's Yahweh by Tal and Acacia. You're still with the Vambilis on SLWV. We're talking about the marriage box and how to look at your marriage as a box in which you've either invested the goodness that you're going to pull out or some of the brokenness that we often see being pulled out. Our principal verse that we'll be looking at is Ezekiel 18. When you join us next week, we'll read the entire chapter because it's all really important. But if I could paraphrase, Ezekiel 18 speaks of how in the future generations, there's coming a time when the young children will no longer eat the fruits or feel the bitterness of the fruits that the older generations ate. And what it means to say by that is that you will be punished for your own sins. You will not have to carry the sins of your parents if you don't perform in the things that cursed them in the first place. And Danny, when we were talking about this, we saw a loophole, because you know the enemy is sly. Sly as a serpent, you know, a roaring lion. And he finds these loopholes. If Ezekiel 18 promises us that we will no longer be under the generational afflictions of our ancestry, then why is it that we keep repeating the same bondages within our lives, but particularly within our marriages? And what did we come up with, Danny?
So we start realizing that the Ezekiel verse also highlights that you must not repeat what the previous generation did. Now, what tends to happen is we are all raised oblivious to the sin that easily ensnares our bloodline, you know, and because these things are taboo to talk about, you'll find that your parents didn't tell you, hey, listen, watch out for this, Uncle Hoo-Hoo, Dad, Uncle Mike, Uncle Jack. They all tend to make the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. So that you go in being aware that because I'm from this bloodline, I need to stay away from alcohol, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm from this bloodline, I need to watch out for divorce, you know. And I need to prevent the things of the previous generation from repeating with me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So sometimes also we find, especially the church experience, we're so empowered with misinformation.
Wow.
You know, a lot of us, it's like, I am so strong, I'm super Christian, nothing will happen because the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you go and you repeat the mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. of your bloodline. Mm-hmm. So you'll find a lot of Christians who professed and confessed to have broken all their generational curses
are living in it.
Are living in
every day.
They all divorced, or they all have. And sorry, I'm bringing out divorce a lot, not to what's the word? Not
condemn.
Not to condemn. It's just because we're talking about marriage, it's just the same thing that's coming to mind. But maybe all of you at some point murder someone, or all of you in your bloodline at some point are falsely accused of doing something, or all of you in your bloodline at some point you make money and then you lose it. You know, and no one is sitting to say, wait a minute, what are we doing as a bloodline that allows for the box to continue being defiled?
And I think what's important to note, and this is a mark or a question for us as believers to really eat on, when we profess these things, that because I'm now a believer, this will not happen to me because I've been adopted by the blood of Christ, but we still live with open doors, what do we think will then happen? Because the enemy always takes advantage of our ignorance.
Yes.
The biggest issue in the faith is not people professing a life that they don't live or experience. It's that they live a life of open doors. What are open doors? You're professing you love the Lord and therefore nothing will happen to you, but you live a wayward life. You maybe drink a lot. Or you are fornicating, whatever that looks like. You are swearing. You are swindling people. You are living in gossip and defilement. And the issue of holiness and how holiness keeps that box pure on both sides. So we've been talking about the physical box, the love, the respect, the support. But there is a spiritual box. There's a spiritual component to every physical thing. And so a lot of the times what is transpiring in our physical box is directly pulling from the generational or spiritual box that we both come in. I think it's Miles Monroe who had said that a couple can be 20 years old, but when they get in that marriage bed, they bring 40 years with them. And they often don't understand, why are we so young yet facing all these things? And what we tend to find is that we are not finding the devil in the detail that makes us fight, that makes us fall out. We blame each other when the truth is each person should be looking in their own generational box, fishing that stuff out, and with the blood of Christ, both of us attack it.
Now, I could come into a marriage with someone who is absolutely an amazing person, but I grew up with suspicion. Everything for my generation is be suspicious of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Maybe all you've heard your whole life is do not trust men. Or all you've heard your whole life is women are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, as much as your marriage box is empty, you have already come in
full of stuff, of
ideas. And now, if your wife maybe on that day she was too busy and came home late, immediately it's disrespect because 4, 5, 6, the food wasn't ready, if that's the dynamics of your marriage. Or maybe you expect that, but you've never discussed that. You know, and your families are different and they behave differently. Yet those behaviors and expectations are already with us from day one.
Yes, it is super, super important to be looking in our own personal boxes, to be looking in our spiritual boxes to see how it will affect what we invest into the marriage.
You're on SLWV 0713640376. Let's hear from you.
We have a message that just came in from Heather Britz, who says, the marriage box. We've been married 27 years. We need to pause. Wow, that is amazing. The box concept has merit, Heather says. It helps you think intentionally about what you're cultivating and investing. The problem is the demand and exhaustion of life. You're generally so drained by the mighty vacuum pipes that suck your energy and attention and even the love out of you. Sure. That when you finally come home, you think you have that safe place that someone is waiting to give you your own ministry. When in fact, he's also placed out on the couch, half dead. So what I found most important and mysterious is the power of the Holy Spirit to empower your dead flesh to work in gentleness and kindness towards your spouse, rather than demand it from him. God is essentially the one who must motivate and fill us. And then we can just love on others. Some of the most helpful advice I've heard was to push start yourself. Mm. Yeah, your starter isn't working at igniting your engine of love and ministry to your husband, but just push it. Just go into the action and the Lord can pull out the clutch and the engine starts running again. Marriage is so complex and far more so than this little insight, but it's my little two cents that can make a big difference in your stance as you face your partner and their needs when you are empty.
Wow. I think this is just beautiful.
Poetry.
And I see the picture, the push start, and the intentionality, you know. I think sometimes we expecting it to just happen.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're tired, you're not thinking your partner's also tired. Mm-hmm. I'm going home to Letitia. Letitia's going to be fine. You know, she's going to catch me.
Wait, this actually happened last night, Danny.
Last night?
Danny was complaining of hectic back pain.
Oh, yes.
And I knew I should do something about it. But I was so exhausted from the baby and the pumping and the life that it took me about 15 minutes to actually take the prompt of the Holy Spirit to give him that massage. I was like, Lord, this is where we push. But early on, what were we told when we were newlywed? Somebody told us, whenever you want a cup of tea, make
the
for
tea
your spouse.
For the other. Yep.
And that changed everything because the person was essentially saying, all the reasons why you want a cup of tea is probably why your spouse wants a cup of tea. So if you're tired and you're cold and you just want something comforting, it's best to just offer it to them as well. And they rather refuse. But I know we never do, right, Danny? If you offer a cup, I'm taking the cup of tea. Like, hello, thank you.
So it's just so important for us to be aware and conscious that we are building something here.
Yeah.
We are investing in our relationship with our daily actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about, hey, we're going to wait for a holiday and go out somewhere. But the day-to-day treatment of one another.
Yeah.
You know, choosing to be patient, choosing to be kind, choosing to know, because sometimes you can see the problem coming.
Yeah.
You know, you're both tired and you're both looking at each other like,
don't try me.
Don't try me. You offer. And When people become intentional and you begin to say, okay, take this bullet mm-hmm. for the relationship. Mm-hmm. Take this bullet.
That doesn't sound very popular in the mental health generation.
No, the mental health guys, they come first. Their happiness comes first. Everything is about you. That stuff's not for marriage, eh? Maybe it's for dating.
Maybe.
If you want to date forever and go from relationship to relationship.
There has to be like a thread, like a mental health happiness to unhappiness in marriage pipeline. Because when we're constantly thinking about what is good for our mental health, it means that we're not thinking about what's good for our spouse's mental health or even our children's mental health. Our generation particularly, because we're so obsessed with the self-care culture, that I don't think we realize that when you get married, you become one. So self-care is us care. And that sometimes means that you have to sacrifice. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says two is better than one because one can be strong when the other is weak. So some seasons, you're the only one putting anything in that box.
But Letitia, sacrificing is now evil.
What do you mean?
No, that's how it's painted, you know. If I have to sacrifice my happiness for the family, then, you know...
I don't know. I don't think, you know, we've touched on this before, but Jesus was not mentally stable on the cross. Jesus was not in his best mental health on the cross. Jesus asked for the cup to be lifted from him, but he still did it. He still went through a season of hardship because he understood that it was building covenant between God and his people, and he had to do it. So those of us who have covenant through marriage, every season is not a happy season. And I think because we're so happiness obsessed, when we start going through those tired days, those tired moments, or those tired seasons, it immediately correlates to leave. What I don't understand is why it never correlates to fix. Now, I want to say something that I think is a bit controversial, is that I often see people saying, if the marriage is abusive, okay, physically and otherwise, leave because it's better for the children. And everyone will agree, you know, in the comment section, yes, the children should not have to be subject to what the two of you have done to your marriage. What I never see is fix it. Stop it. Change it. Seek for help. It's like whenever we see something is wrong, the only thing we think of
is run.
To leave. Run. Yeah. Whether it's the perpetrator or the one perpetrating. And I would go as far as saying the perpetrator knows they're broken. Why does the perpetrator never say, I need help because this is bad for my family?
Yeah, I think, Letitia, we're not building anymore. Our generation is for Instagram. Our marriages are for pictures. And if the picture doesn't look good, if it can't go on Instagram, if it's my season to be strong for you, then it's a bad marriage. I need to leave.
We need to talk about warfare for your marriage. We need to talk about warfare.
All right, stay tuned. We did announce that the president will be sworn in Pretoria today. So we'll be doing that live here on Impact Radio. The president's not going to be here. Don't come looking for him. But we're going to tune into Parliament or Union Building. I'm not sure where it's happening.
It's in the Union Building.
It's at the Union Building. Yeah. Okay, we'll be tuning into the Union Buildings. Stay tuned. If you've got any questions, 071-364-0376. Let's go.
Impact 103. Let strength come alive.
You're with the Vambilis, and we're talking about the marriage box this morning / afternoon as we take you into 12 o'clock. We're talking about warring for your marriage. Danny, does that still exist in this day and time? The concept that it can still be a war, even though you're in the love and the good stuff?
Letitia, I don't know. I think our generation has decided that if everything is not right automatically, without any work, without any effort, without any investment, then you've married the wrong person and you need to move on.
Is there a place for marital accountability? What I call marital accountability is when the couple is able to look into that box and say, this is a mess. I know we had to do that.
Yeah.
There was a season in our marriage where we looked in the box and we could not believe what we found in that box. Mm. And we couldn't understand how our well-meaning actions led to this. And it took so much work to slowly begin to have the difficult conversations that unpack that box so that we can cleanse what was happening. And I think this is the encouraging portion, to know that you can change what's inside your marriage box.
Yeah, and it takes effort. There is no marriage that was just perfect, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm saying this because when you do counseling like we do, you obviously have to be private about the information you have. But many times, especially when you're counseling in a circle of friends, you would have one couple admiring a different couple who's also going through their own things. And, you know, but these ones have idolized the good things they know about that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're sitting there as a counselor, you begin to see just how dangerous it is to idolize what you're not building.
Mm.
You know, to look and say the grass is greener on the other side without realizing that, well, it takes manure to really get grass going. And people are doing different things. People are watering their grass. Instead of you looking and hoping and wanting other people's lives, take a minute to invest in your own. And I think even for us, it's been a constant lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we found a couple where we thought, yeah, that, and then the Lord's like, mm-mm, you build your own.
I think we have to be mature about marriage. We have to be mature about how we see marriage. There's this fallacy we keep telling ourselves that it's better there, without telling us the truth of, if it's hard here, it's probably hard everywhere.
Yes.
And everyone is doing the work that they have to do in order to be okay. And then some people will think, no, but we thought you guys were fine. You were just pretending. Well, nobody walks out with their dirty laundry. No one, you know, if we're going to a wedding and we get into a fight in the car, we're supposed to come out of the car with a poster that says, I can't stand him today. No, mm-hmm. You do what you have to do to get through the day and to build your home. I think having a mature perspective about marriage means that you stay inside your house. The book of Galatians 6:2, it says, care about your own things. Do not get involved in other people's things. And that lack of foresight in knowing that your thing is worth working on,
yes,
is why some of the things that get invested in the marriage box is bad for us in the long term. In fact, some people just need to get off social media altogether, because mm-hmm. it does contribute to the false idea you have that everyone else's marriage is okay. Everyone is doing the work that they have to do. And no, they don't owe you a poster to post, hey, we fought this morning. No, be mature about it. We're all doing what we have to do to live in healthy homes, but we don't have to advertise it. But there's a truth. In short, the way I explain it is, when you look at a couple holding their toddler, you can acknowledge the photo is cute without immediately assuming that that toddler never poops, never vomits, never gets sick, never throws a tantrum. There's an immediate understanding that, oh, the child is cute, but man, parenting must be hard.
Oops.
Why don't we have that same mature perspective about marriage and the fact that everyone is making some kind of investment in that box, whether good or bad?
And this is where the generational marital box is so important, because your generation has passed on ideas of marriage that you are living out, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. So it's our personal responsibilities to pause and mm-hmm. think, you know, is this thing repeating itself? Have I seen this before? Is there a way that I am conducting myself that comes from what I was raised with? Beloved, we're having this conversation, 071-364-0376. Have you had to make changes in your marriage? Let us know.
love him in there too.
You are on SLWV, Surviving Life with the Vambillies. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and the lovely Lady V in studio. She just came back from maternity leave. Gave me such a beautiful, handsome little baby boy. Thank you, Letitia.
It's a pleasure. It was a lot of hard work.
9 months of baking. We appreciate our women for that. Thank Amen. You so much.
Amen. We're still talking about the marriage box here this afternoon. And Danny, what would kind of be your thoughts around improving or changing once we open the box and we don't like what we see?
I want to say to every human being listening right now, male and female, you were built for marriage. Okay? When God made man and woman, the first thing he did was he gave himself the monopoly over us. The only way we get along is if we have him at the center, you know, guiding us through hardship, because being human is not easy. There is difficulty. You know, you don't get along with all your siblings. You know, you have seasons with your parents where when you're a teenager, where you thought they were evil, you know, and they're trying to ruin your life and you knew everything, you know, but you come out of that, you wiser, you understand, man, you apologize. I was wrong, mom, dad, you know, I see now what you're trying to do for me. Same applies for marriage. Mm. You know, you love your parents the longer they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we have this idea of marriage, the longer it is, the more boring it becomes. No, there is work to be done,
yeah.
But the Lord equipped you. There's things in you that can change. You can mature. Just because it's broken doesn't mean it's going to end broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things that as you grow in your marriage, they don't even matter anymore. I'm not trying to win arguments anymore. You know, I'd rather be getting along with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we just want to put everything under the rug. We also know, like, hey, if you don't deal with it, at some point, it's going to explode. So it's better to deal with it.
Yeah.
But you become wiser at dealing with it if you choose to start.
You know, I think, you know, as you're listening to me, you're going to get sick of me using babies as an analogy. But hey, bear with me. One just happened. Okay.
She's coming out of the season, guys.
Listen, everything has its infancy state and everything has its maturity state. And with now literally nursing a baby, there are times when nursing him is painful.
Mm.
It is absolutely painful because he's biting and doing all the thing with the teething. But a marriage goes through a teething phase.
Oof.
A marriage goes through a nursing stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be painful. It can be uncomfortable. Once that milk comes in on day two, that is almost hell. You're like, I'm going to give up on this whole breastfeeding thing altogether. You know, if you're not breastfeeding.
No, sorry, as for the guys in the building, we didn't get that. What does that mean?
When I don't know. I thought it would only be with the first one, but third one in, same thing. Around day two, day three, when the milk comes in. So the milk doesn't come in immediately when the baby's born.
All right.
So when your body.
So women don't just have milk waiting for the baby.
Of course not, Danny.
I'm speaking like this because there's guys listening who've not gone through this. Guys, we were all traumatized as fellow husbands. You know, we were like, yo, guys.
It's like you have this beautiful child,
mm.
and then 2 days later, it's like chaos in the house because, you know, you're in so much pain. The milk's not coming through. The child's eyes are turning yellow because you're not making enough milk for the child. And then it starts just this chaotic little piece of journey before you find yourselves and you begin to grow. And Danny, you rightfully said, a marriage doesn't get more boring. And I would use the child as well. Our children didn't get more boring. They became more interesting. Mm. Noah's older siblings are interesting. Every day we want to hear, what is life like for you? The other day I sat our daughter down. She's 8. And I said, take me through a day in your life. Let's do a vlog since you are that generation. Let's do an ISTE vlog. And she said, well, I wake up in the morning. And I was so interested to hear what this girl's day is like. they're not more boring. They're more interesting because we discover more and more of who they are. And I think we need to look at our marriage the same way. I was actually having a laugh with myself as you were talking earlier, and I'm like, maybe marriage is a lifelong commitment because we've got a lifelong amount of things to deal with mm-hmm. and to discover mm-hmm. and to hash out. Ultimately, if we look at a marriage as not just being an investment into each other, but investment into our generations, I think it will make it easier for us to look at marriage from a perspective of not the self.
Deal with things so your children don't have to deal with them. You know, make the choice to go the hard route, you know, and generationally speaking, and this generational boxes, sometimes they're so beautiful, but sometimes they set a superficial standard, you know, that is so unfair for a young couple that's starting up. You know, for me, if you married 10 years like Letitia and myself, you've not started yet.
Yeah, no.
You know, because we speak not to people all. Who are married 50 years, 60 years.
Remember what that couple told us? They said, how long have you been married? We said 10 years. And she went, oh, that's so cute. You should wait for 15. Stuff happens at 15.
and you look at it and you're like, wow, you know, it's such a beautiful journey. And mm-hmm. I enjoy watching older retired couples mm-hmm. where you'll see that sometimes the husband can't drive anymore and it's the wife driving. And you watch again. I'm looking at Letitia myself now. Letitia will not drive me for nothing. She's like, dude, I've got a husband. I'm going to enjoy my drive. And then I see that older couple and I'm like, yo, maybe one day I won't be able to drive.
We hope not.
You know, we pray, you know, you mustn't lose your chauffeur. You know? But it's those beautiful things. And when you sit down and they tell you, though now I know what my wife is thinking before she thinks it. There's a time there was so much miscommunication between us and we thought we were just going to have to divorce. Mm-hmm. And you see that, you're like, wow, you guys went from that stage to a place where you're helping each other with your dentals. You're putting in those teeth. Guys, there's something so beautiful about marriage.
Or like the other day, and you had a cold. I was just so tired from baby things that I needed to brush my teeth. And I grabbed your toothbrush. And then I was like, oh, whatever, man. Just use the toothbrush.
She took my toothbrush.
And now I honestly don't care. I just grab any toothbrush that's in the bathroom. But when we first got married, never.
It'll be like, what?
That is so unhygienic.
I would have thrown that toothbrush away, you know. Beloved, there's something beautiful God wants for your marriage, and he wants you to pass it on generationally. We need to make you aware the presidential inauguration is taking place. We are going to cross over to them. So if you've got questions, 071-364-0376, send it to us, because next week, this is the topic. I don't know if we're leaving you right away or if we're going to come back for one more link, but we are ready to embrace this new South Africa as we pray for government. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
I know you're everywhere. I know you're here. I can't hold back. I see the things you've done and I'm overcome. I can't hold back. Circumstance, my soul event, I can't hold back. How can I keep still when I'm spirit filled? I can't hold back. Come on, let the saints all sing.
We can't hold back.
I know
you're everywhere. I know you're here. I can't hold back. I've seen the things you've done and I'm overcome. I can't hold back. In every circumstance, my soul will dance. I can't hold back. How can I keep still when I'm so with you? I can't hold back.
Beautiful, beautiful vibes. Can't hold back. Influence music and Larry James Walker, the second. Letitia, how do we sign out from such a topic?
Well, we don't, because if you join us next week, we have a part two of today's show called The Marriage Box, where we've been talking about how what you see in your marriage is a direct reflection of what's in that box. And seasonally, we have to stop and check, is the content of our marriage box still healthy and conducive to building the generations and building what it is we're trying to do?
I want to say to the lovely people who have tuned in, first of all, God loves you. Mm-hmm. And no matter what it is that you're going through, you can pull through. You know, don't give up. Some of the worst marriages are today beacons of success because they submitted it to God. So please, let's stay encouraged, let's stay in the fight, and let's get professional help. Mm-hmm. Not advice from friends or people who themselves are getting bad results. Let's get professional help. And as we close off, what's the number we give? For those who need counseling, it is available. We do offer it for free.
Yes, you can WhatsApp the following number, 081-640-9372. That number once more for marriage counseling, 081-640-9372. It's important as you seek for help, especially if you're a believer, try and see if the person is also a believer.
Yes.
Because there's some strange advice being given to married couples in these sessions. So prayfully seek the Lord and allow Him to guide you.
We are not, I come first generation. We are godly people who believe in godly principles. The husband is called to lay down his life for his wife. And so is the wife. And she is called to love and submit to her husband. It's not demonic to do so. It is actually godly. All right, we love you guys. From Daniel, Letitia Vambilly.
See you next week.
Au revoir.